إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم من والاه بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, and in the ayat which were recited this morning in the Salah, in Surah An-Naba, it begins with a rhetorical question which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, asking, what is all this argument? What is all this noise? What is all this debating? And people are asking these questions. Amma yatasaalun. And they are asking about this Naba'il Azim, this great announcement, this day, this something which is of great importance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking this question because he wants us to think about this question and saying, what is it that you are asking and arguing about and saying this and that? What is so mysterious about this? Do you think this is something which is hidden? Because this has been the root cause of all the philosophies and so on and religions of the world, where at the end of the day, the bottom line question which is argued by everybody is, what will happen after I die? You know, in Islam, the beauty is that you don't have to ask this question, because we have the answer. We know what will happen after we die. And what we know is not philosophy. What we know is not somebody's conjecture. It's not someone's, you know, sort of guesswork. It is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, who knows what will happen after we die, because he does not die. And therefore, once we know what will happen after we die, then what do you do for that? You prepare for it. You prepare for it so that you have a time which is good. And the surah ends with what I consider to be the ayah of the ayah of great despair, where ya laytani kuntu turaba, where wa yaqulul kafiru ya laytani kuntu turaba. The people who denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who denied this day of judgment, who denied all these things, imagine their despair, that they will not even say, we wish our Rabb will forgive us. They will say that we wish we were dust, we wish we were sand, we were mud, earth, ground. We wish we never existed, we wish we were never born. Imagine what is the state of sadness and despair of somebody who has to say something like this. I wish I had never born. He's not even saying, I wish Allah will forgive me. No. Even that hope of forgiveness itself is not there. Of course, despair is haram in Islam, and that's why he's saying, وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ. The people who denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, there is no need for that. The whole point of the surah, the whole point of the Quran, the whole point of the Bi'asat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that there is no need for anyone to be in a position to say, Ya laytani kuntu turab. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from that. There is no need, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, as I said the other day in Jumaat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us the whole meaning of education. And the whole meaning of education is this entire business of Islam. This whole life is a test. We are living an exam. From the time we became baligh, from the time we attained puberty, we became mature, till the time we die, or may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from such things. If we are incapacitated mentally or something, that's a different issue. We ask Allah to save us from all of that. So till the day we die, we are accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this whole time is a test. But this is a test which is not a test of guesswork. There is no Allah in this test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not trying to catch us and put us into trouble. This is the beauty of the test. The test is not designed to make you fail. The test is designed to make you pass. This is the most beautiful part of this whole test. And that is how education also should be structured. Not have exams which are designed to make you fail. Have exams which are designed to make you pass. Now this whole test is there. And how do I say that? I say that because it is an open book exam. It's an open book test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his kitab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to not only teach what is in the kitab, but to demonstrate how to practice what is in the kitab. One is to, like most of our education, which is they give you a book and then the teacher dictates notes. I can't imagine anything more stupid than that. You already gave a book, why do you want to dictate notes for what? What notes? So you don't even want the student to exercise their mind a little bit by reading the book and trying to understand the book. Even the notes are dictated. And then the student mugs it up and regurgitates it, and you call that passing exams. It's completely insane and stupid system. But Islam is not like this. Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the book. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to reflect on this book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, people who reflect on the Quran. Who are the intelligent people? Those who reflect. So Allah said, read the book, reflect on the book, understand the book. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't leave that to us. He sent us a teacher to teach this whole thing. And he also sent this teacher with the job of demonstrating it, not only teaching it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam simply did not read out the Quran, or he didn't simply recite the Quran. He demonstrated the meaning and the value of the Quran. That's the reason why the famous hadith, all of us know this, we have heard this many times, that Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha said to somebody who asked her, please tell us something about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She asked him, don't you read the Quran? He said, yes, I read the Quran. So she said, that is the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa The Quran is the life of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seerah is the tafsir of the Quran in action. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam demonstrated what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to do. Allah wants us to do. He demonstrated how our life is to be lived according to the precepts of the Quran. So therefore we have this open book exam. The exam is going on as we speak. The kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is open before us. We are free to refer to that kitab as many times as we want. We are free to refer to the notes of the teacher of the kitab, which we know as the sunnah and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the, like in many technical books, you have a book of the technology, the theory. Then you have what is called a field book. And the field book is the practice of that technology which people have done, and then they have taken notes to say how does it actually work. So the field book of the Quran is the hadith of Rasulullah. That is the field book of the Quran. So what is in the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that in his teachings. And in the hadith, you have two kinds of things. You have things which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and you have things which he did. So that was also reported that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did such and such a thing in such and such a way. So therefore, we have this field book which is telling us how to practice the Quran. And then one day, this test, like all tests, this test also will close. One day it will end, and after that we will get the results of the test. So it's like this. It's a very simple matter to understand. So therefore, Allah is reminding us and saying, stop all this argument and discussion and so on, so on, so on. Will this be there? Will that be there? Forget all that. Look at what you have to do. Look at what you have to do. The other day, I sent out one of the hadiths of Mr. Sallam, where he talked about who is a Muslim, and I clarified by saying that, the issues of raising your hand in Salah or Rafayadain or moving the finger in Tashahud or not moving the finger, all of these are different ways in which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did things, but these are not the critical issues. The critical issue is, do you have khushu in your Salah or not? Alladheena hum fi salatihim khashiyun. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentioned about the mu'mineen that they are people who have khushu in their Salah. And that's why it's very important always to go back to the basics. Refer to the fundamentals. Don't worry about all this. There are a lot of theories floating around in the world. Leave them. We don't have time for all that. Let us look at the fundamental. What will you and I be questioned about? That is the only thing which we need to bother about. Otherwise, you will spend a lot of time talking about a whole lot of stuff. At the end of that, you say, what was the result of this? What changes have been implemented? What changes are being done, which are measurable? And the answer is zero. So we have, our life is full of this. We have this kind of meeting, that meeting, formal meeting, informal meeting, we sit and discuss and we talk till the cows come home. And at the end of that, you say, okay, what did we get out of this? And the answer is nothing. We got nothing. We just talked, then we go home. Halas. So that doesn't produce any results. I think we have become experts at that. So instead of that, we need to stop talking and start acting, and acting on things which are actually important for us. And what are important for us? Those things about which we will be questioned. Very simple. Nothing else is important. What Allah is not going to question you about, don't bother about it. It's a waste of time, because you are, time you spend on it is time taken out from things which you will be questioned about. So what will Allah question us about? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us. First question is, how did we spend the time that He gave us? So what is the answer to that? We should have an answer. How did you spend your life? Means what? Time. How did you spend your time? Doing what? So that's one thing. Second thing is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us about how we spent our youth. Out of the time, the specific time, which is when you, Allah gave you strength and power and so on and so forth, what did you do? So especially those who are young, and of course this applies to all of us, alhamdulillah. It doesn't mean that just because you are not in your youth anymore, that question, no, the question is there. If you did not spend your youth the way you should have spent it, then spend the rest of your life making tawbah for it. But those who are young, this is a good opportunity. So think about that. What am I doing in my youth? And the third question is, what am I doing with the knowledge that was given to me? So what I know, what am I doing with that? I know that I must pray salah in the masjid. Am I doing it? That's why I always tell people, forget all these philosophical discussions. I have no time whatsoever for that. Look at what you know. You know that you must pray the salah in the masjid. Are you doing it? You know that you must pray salah 5 times a day. Are you doing it? What more do you... I'm not even going beyond this, because if you are not even doing the fundamental, what is the sense in talking about anything more? And then, so this is knowledge. And knowledge in terms of two things in knowledge. One, did you practice it? And did you communicate it? Did you tell it to somebody else? Both are important. And the last question is, in terms of earnings, where did you earn from and what did you spend on? The incoming and the outgoing. So, where did you earn the money from? Was it halal, haram, what? What are the source? And please understand, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no little bit of haram, little bit of halal together. No. There is no fusion. Yeah? You have to be correct. Everything has to be halal. There is no mixture of this and that, 10%, 15%, none of that. And then where did you spend it? You may earn halal, but your spending might not be halal. And vice versa, if you are earning haram, there is no halal spending. I mean, what is earned, haram is haram. But I'm saying it is possible, earning can be halal. But then spending in israf, in doing all kinds of things, in haram. So, now the point is, these are 4 questions. If we can, inshallah, may Allah make it easy for us, if we can answer these 4 things, then alhamdulillah, we are safe. And we are not only safe just today, tomorrow, we are safe forever. After that, there are no other questions. These 4 questions are the last questions that will ever be asked to the human being. And Allah knows best. After which there is no test, after which there are no questions, then go into Jannah. Inshallah al-Mustan, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His Jannah, inshallah. So let us focus on that. This is what Allah sent us for. Let us focus on these 4 things. Forget about everything else. And the beauty is that if you focus on these 4 things, everything else gets taken care of automatically. That is the whole beauty of Islam, that if you focus on the basic fundamentals, everything else gets taken care of automatically. Now you might say, if I pray in the masjid, how does everything get... Praying in the masjid means what? means your life has become disciplined. It means when you come into the masjid, you are learning, understanding what is the meaning of salah in the masjid. You are building relationships. It's not just a matter of, you know, mechanically going there, Allahu Akbar, Salaam Alaikum, go home. No. There is a whole issue of, you know, all the benefits of coming and praying in the masjid, all of which you get just by one action. So, I'm not going to spend more time on all of it, but this is important. Just think about this, inshallah. Allah will make it clear for us. So, let us try to focus on this, inshallah. And then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness and His mercy and for His Jannah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.